Let's open up the Bible. And the title of the talk today, I'll say it again for Andy. The title of the talk today is Fly Like an Eagle. Mel's apologising, she distracted him. James chapter 4. And I have to acknowledge my sources here. Fly Like an Eagle. Okay, so we went to George's graduation yesterday for Edith Cowan University, WA Academy of Performing Arts was part of that. You know, it was at the Perth Convention Centre. It was where we had our 2005 convention. It was jam-packed with parents and graduands, I think they call them, when they're about to graduate. That was good. It was really good. The ceremony wasn't too boring, except the bit where about 600 people walk across the stage and get their degrees each. The other bits were really good. They had the chap who did a... Have you heard of Don McAlpine? Who's heard of him? Anyone? He's a famous... He's 82, famous Australian. He's worked on all these Hollywood films as a cinematographer. He's probably the most famous Australian cinematographer. He's made 55 feature films, and some of the most famous ones, the ones that you'd all know. Lots of films with Harrison Ford in it, and a lot of the early Australian films like Breaker Morant and so on. So it was a pretty big deal. He got an honorary degree, and they showed some of his stuff, and he gave a speech. So it was really cool. Anyway, that's what I'm getting off the track. But the Vice-Chancellor told a story about Eddie the Eagle, so that's kind of inspired the thoughts. It was pretty cool. Who's heard of Eddie the Eagle before? Okay, a few of us. Cool, excellent. Some of the younger generation too. This guy... I'll tell you the story in a minute, but let's read a scripture first. So when I say fly like an eagle, we're not talking about joining the West Coast Eagles. I'm going to be talking about Eddie the Eagle. He's a completely different kettle of fish. If you joined the West Coast Eagles, of course, that would involve lots of training, eating lots of unnecessarily good food, and losing your salvation. So we're not going to do that, are we? And then there's a little matter of getting into the team, you know. You might not make the cut, so... But we can all be like Eddie... We can strive to be like Eddie the Eagle. Anyway, I'll tell you more about Eddie in a minute. I'll just read a couple of verses in James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain... Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Well, that's the theme today. You know, if the Lord wills it, we can do this or that. And who knows what wonderful things he's got in store for you if you're ready for it. If we sort of focus on mammon, as we know from the Sermon on the Mount, you know, we can't serve God and mammon. If we focus on that, we look to go to a city and buy and sell and get gain. We're going to take our eye off the prize and we're going to miss out. And our life's just like a vapour. It could be, you know, it can go at any time. And, of course, in the scheme of things, 70, 80, 90, 100 years is still not very long in the scheme of things. So... in the Lord's sight, it's a blink of the eye. It's a vapour. And we see, you know, in the world today how fragile life is in many parts of the world, both through war and famine and difficulty, you know, natural disasters, all sorts of things. It is just a vapour. And, you know, unfortunately, I just flicked open the internet this morning and, you know, more kids drowning in the Aegean Sea and all those sorts of things. Tragic. So it is a vapour. But we ought to say, if the Lord wants to, we're going to live. And we're going to do this or that. And, you know, it can be really exciting if we just take that attitude and we're ready for it and we sort of do the background training to be ready for it for when the call comes or the opportunity comes. Now, Eddie, he's going to be our example today. So Eddie the Eagle, he came last in the ski jump event at the Winter Olympics in Calgary, Canada, 1988. Okay, that was the same Olympics that the Cool Runnings Jamaican bobsled team went to in Calgary, Canada. So that's another great story out of that. You know, these guys from a Jamaican Ireland Never Seen Snow, went and competed in Canada. Eddie was a little bit in the same category. He was underfunded and he had jobs. One job was living in a lunatic asylum for £1 a week. So he did that so he could just pay £1 a week board. He washed dishes. He did all sorts of odd jobs to fund himself. He wore 6 pairs of socks to make his second-hand ski boots fit. He couldn't afford new ones. His helmet was held on with string. He was underfunded, short-sighted, accident-prone and not very good. However, this guy became a star. He became a sensation. The winner in the ski jump event jumped 129 metres off that thing. You know, you go flying down the hill, and then it goes up like that, and you fly through the air like this with your skis, and, you know, they measure how far you've jumped. Eddie jumped 71 metres, representing Great Britain, a country not known for competing in snow sports. He came 56th in a field of 56. By a long way. The tag Eddie the Eagle, some people say it was because he spread his arms out as he was flying through the air, and other people say it was because fans gave him a helmet with Eddie the Eagle written on the front as a present, and the tag just stuck with him. However, whatever the reason is, he did become a media star, and he actually made a lot of money afterwards. He lost it all again, but he was on the speaking circuit and in adverts and all sorts of things. It was a sort of an ironic, affectionate term for him. I remember it at the time, this sort of odd chap. But he was ridiculed and often scorned and mocked by the sports commentators, and at press conferences, journalists would try to sort of get a rise out of him and ridicule him a bit. But Eddie the Eagle refused to see it as failure. He said to them, doing this is not easy. It's not, is it? You imagine hurtling down a slope at 50 miles an hour, 80 kilometres an hour, sorry, flying off into the air, way, way above the ground and have to come down. And he said, this is not easy, and I've represented my country at the Olympic Games. This is a dream, a big achievement. And he refused to see it as failure. And then it was realised Eddie the Eagle held the record for the longest ski jump ever by someone from Great Britain. Because he was the only one. So I thought, Mel said to me, you've got to do a talk on that. So I thought, yeah, this guy's an inspiration because, you know, you think about what we do. You know, people see it as a bit ridiculous in some ways, don't they? In many ways. And we've got to not see it as failure, but we've got to be like Eddie and we've got to fly like eagles, Eddie the Eagle. He's got folk status. Well, we'll probably never have that. He did something foolish, perhaps, but in his eyes it was great. And it's often about what we think up here, isn't it? Don't let other people, what they think about you, make you see yourself that way. You know, I am the Lord's ambassador. I'm his representative on earth. I'm going to do something remarkable. And we can say, this is not easy, just like Eddie. This is not easy, walking in the Lord day after day. I've represented my God in the world. Not Great Britain in the Olympics, but my God in this world. And when everyone else thinks it's ridiculous what we do, the Lord's suddenly going to come back and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, and you're shining like the stars in the dark sky, aren't you? You know, it's what he says in the Bible. And everyone's going to say, wow, they're actually, you know, they're awesome. And we're lucky. Think of it this way. We're lucky to have something really exciting in our lives. I know I'd be lost without being in the Lord. What would I be doing? Just meaningless things, building a career. Who cares? You know, we've got something really exciting to do in our lives. And think of Eddie. You know, we're drawing the parallel with Eddie today. He did this thing and he got ridiculed. But who else has done that? Represented their country in the ski jump and able to jump 71 metres. You know, that might have been half the distance of the other guys virtually. But still quite an achievement. I remember when I first came to Australia, mum and dad sent me to a Young Australia League camp out at Araluen. Does anyone remember those camps? They sort of go way back in the past. Maybe some of the old-timers have been on some of those camps, but they were organised just for kids to go somewhere. You didn't know any of the other kids, so you're in there, you've got to make new friends and all that. It's a bit scary. And I'd just come out from England too, so I was, you know, doubly lost. And I went in the boxing competition. And I got beaten. I thought I'd be good because we had boxing lessons at school in England. So I thought, yeah, I know a bit about this, but no, the other kid was really good. And then I went in the diving competition, and then I got out of the pool and at Araloon, you know, that great big pool next to where Brian and Rihanna got married, actually. And that, yeah, it's all those lovely walls and rocks and things. So, and I got out of the pool and this kid said to me, "You can't box and you can't dive." And I thought, well, I was pretty crushed, but I thought afterwards, well, at least I did it, didn't I? I had a go both times. And that's a bit like Eddie. If we read in chapter 5, verse 1, "Go to, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cancered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days." That's what most people try and do. I shouldn't say that. Some people are quite happy with not too much in this life, but other people think, well, I've got to get as much as I can and then I'll be happy and secure and all the rest of it. But it actually works against you in the long run, it's saying here. And, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, those that follow the news and the media, there's a few rumblings about the GFC at the moment. Oh, no. Yeah, our banker here is nodding. He should know. So over lunch, maybe we can ask him what the global financial situation's going to do next. Oh, you're not an economist, okay. But still, you're working on the ground with people's accounts, so you know you have to be concerned about investments and things like that. So, you know, there's been a few rumblings that I've heard some people say, oh, the GFC of 2008 was only the beginning. You know, we're still in it, and it just, you know, the next manifestation's yet to come. And that was bad enough, wasn't it? And they say, well, you know, all the world's reserves of central bank money got used up sort of bailing people out. There's nothing left for next time. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but these are things I've heard. China, of course, everyone's worried about China and what the direction they're going with their growth. It's certainly affecting Western Australia with its commodities. And, you know, it just matches these scriptures. They'll be weeping and howling, you know, when all the things that seem secure and the money-making enterprises suddenly fall through the floor. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 19. Jesus here speaking. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, as it's known. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And Jesus is just giving this straightforward advice. Put your treasure in the Lord. We heard testimonies of, you know, committing to the Lord over decades. And Lynn, you know, after being in the Lord for decades, getting to one of the worst trials of her walk and just going where the treasure is, trusting in the Lord. And, you know, what an amazing turnaround just in the last few days. Things you couldn't even imagine. I mean, when they said the children are going to be taken away for 18 years, you just saw all of us, you know, just our jaws dropped on the floor. We couldn't believe that they could do that to a family where there's, you know, love and care and all that going on. And then, you know, to be turned around and then just what's happened this week, you know, amazing with the job and the equal custody and all that sort of thing. So that's where the treasure is, and we see the Lord come through when we do that and not putting our hope in treasures, because the Lord, we see the Lord provide them for us anyway, almost without us trying. They just come and they're there. And there's a little secret in here in verse 21, where we put our treasure, our heart's going to be there. You know, if we do it like with our will, then our heart will sort of follow suit. And I love a verse in Proverbs 16 where it says, "Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts should be established." In other words, just do it with your will, and then your thinking and your thoughts are all going to fall into line with it. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So we, with our will, we do all the things he asked us to do, he commanded us to do, to pray, to read, to fellowship, to love one another, to, you know, promote unity and, you know, the bond of peace and all that sort of thing. And when we do that, our heart's going to be in it and wholehearted, and our life's going to be success in the Lord. Yes, we'll have ups and downs, as we heard in Lynn's testimony, but we'll always come out of it, always. Okay, let's move along. Oh, verse 22 is worth reading before we go. Before we go to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 22 here, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So just keep our eye on the treasure. Our heart will follow. Our eye will be on it. And then it's going to show. It's going to show in our testimony, in our demeanour. You know, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, all this world, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And it's pretty much the same as this. Your whole body should be full of light. That's how we want to be. And that manner of person with our holy conversation, our godliness, as this world closes in. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 6. And Paul here is writing to the Corinthian church and says to them, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. And we always recognise that, I believe, in our fellowship, that some people are evangelising and people are coming in, but we know it's the Lord that lines it up. Not that we mustn't be labourers and go out and do the work. And then people come in and then they get watered and there's increase and so on. And it's God that gives us that treasure. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God. You are God's husbandry, or farming produce, the good grain that grows up. That's what husbandry means, the produce. You are God's building. So he uses two analogies there. One, the husbandry is farming, a farming analogy, and the building is the other one he uses about us being fitly framed together into the temple of God. Okay, so we are those things. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, and this is Paul speaking, he's calling himself this, seeing himself as someone that's instrumental in getting things put together. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ must always be our focus and our recognition and our gratitude and all of those things. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It's saying that we're all in this building, so we're all in the field growing like good crops, you know. So we know other parables about that, tares and wheat and the harvest at the end. We're also the building, that we're being built together by other apostles like Paul, master builders, and that we're laid on the foundation, the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And we're all going to build in different ways. And some people are going to build with gold on that. And some people are going to use silver. And some people precious stones. They're different. Like we're talking about the body. You know, not everyone's exactly the same. We'll do different things. So some people are going to build in different ways too. Some people are going to actually come and contribute wood, hay and stubble to the building. And then it says when the fire comes, stuff's going to get burned. And what is going to go through the fire? Will gold go through the fire? Yes, it's refined by fire. Will silver go through the fire? Yes, it's put in a crucible and refined by fire. Will precious stones go through the fire? Yes, because they're created under the earth by immense heat and pressure, and that's how rubies and sapphires and diamonds are actually created in the first place. What about wood? Not so good. You know, we see fires all over the place and wood burning. You know, we've just had a tragic loss of a town just near us. What about, what else is there? Hay. Well, plenty of that got burnt up near Waroona. Stubble, same, you know. We actually drove up to Perth yesterday and saw, you know, all that burning, you know, on the Forest Highway. And just, I was just looking over around the Lake Preston area, and not just the trees, but, you know, the stubble got burnt as well. And it's just bare ground virtually in parts. And so it's obvious that the first three go through and the second three, the last three, don't go through. And it's saying that we're all building, and perhaps we're doing our best, and perhaps not everyone's quite hitting the mark with what they're building. And verse 14 says, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And it's kind of like what I was talking about last week. We can make mistakes in the Lord, and we're still saved. You know, I played Stephanie's testimony of getting onto that extreme protein diet, and then she felt so bad that she'd made this big mistake and just done this, what she called a dumb thing, and the Lord couldn't possibly heal her. But then she suddenly had the revelation he didn't care, you know, with the help of a sister talking to her and hearing her talk on healing, that it didn't matter. God loved her, filled her with the Holy Spirit. She was righteous. She was obedient and worshipping in spirit and in truth. And that was all that was important. It didn't matter if she'd made a mistake. And it's the same here. We might build with something that's not so great and we suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And how could we liken this to something in the real world of working in for the Lord? Because, you know, obviously this is a metaphor. Well, how about, you know, if you are preaching the gospel and someone comes along and they stay in the Lord and that goes through the fire, isn't that something that's pure gold? You know, that's something from the Lord. So that work will abide, and the Lord is going to come back and give you a reward. It says he shall receive a reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. What about if, say, you offered something to the Lord, but it was learning to play the guitar really, really well so you could, you know, help in the fellowship. And, you know, that is a contribution, playing an instrument and so on. But if you went into it, you know, and got really carried away with it, and just thought, I'm really, really doing a lot for the Lord now by learning to play diminished ninths and extended 11th chords and whatnot, the Lord, is he going to... when he comes back, is he going to go, well done, good and faithful servant? He might just say, no, that's burned. Thanks for your thanks for your contribution in the band, but, you know, that we just needed someone to play, you know, the instrument so everyone could sing along. And I read something really good the other day. I can't remember where I heard it. Excuse me if I've pinched it from you. That David wrote all these wonderful psalms, and we've got the words, but the music's been lost. Think of that. We've got the words, but the music's not there anymore. So as long as we get the words out, that's the most important thing, isn't it? So some things are going to be burned up. Doesn't mean that you're not trying to do your best for the Lord. And I love that verse that he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know, you're still going to be saved. Don't sort of sit there fretting and worrying and thinking, I'm not saved. Yes, work out your salvation with fire and fear and trembling, but also be reassured. God loves you. He's going to get you there. Verse 16, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Okay. Okay, back to Eddie. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Couldn't give a talk about Eddie and not go to Isaiah 40 in the Eagles. Okay, Isaiah 40, well-known verses because we sing this in a chorus. Verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. In other words, you won't get to the end of the Lord's wisdom, of his knowledge and understanding. And he never tires. He never stops looking after, you know, his eyes run to and fro over the whole earth, looking after the needs of millions of people. Well, no, let's not say millions. Let's say lots of people at once. We don't know. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And metaphorically speaking, they shall go soaring 71 metres with their hands outstretched, doing crazy things for the Lord, doing things that you never imagined you would do when you first came to the Lord. Some people never thought they would knock on a door. Rod said that in his testimony. Now he loves it, you know, that sort of thing. You're not going to be weary. You get weary, especially after working till 7 o'clock, you know, yesterday. But you know, I offered to come in early and do Rod's job from this morning, but no, he wouldn't have it. He was in here doing his normal job this morning. So his strength was renewed overnight, and Brent's too, and here they are, soaring like eagles. Your wings fell off? So, you know, great inspirational verses, aren't they? Even it's sort of likening the youths shall faint and be weary. You know, in the natural, even the young ones, you know, they have their limits. They seem to have boundless energy, but they do have their limits. The young men shall utterly fall, but the ones that wait on the Lord get this strength to go on and not faint. And, of course, that's got a double meaning. Fainting means falling away from the Lord. So we're not going to do that. We're going to be strengthened and we're going to go on with the Lord. And all the people said, amen. All right, you get the idea there, the eagles. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter... No, I've done that. Didn't we? Oh, yes, we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We were in chapter 3 before. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25. Remember now that we're talking about Eddie the Eagle. He was seen as foolish by a lot of people. In the world, he became a bit, you know, of a star, and people were fond of him. Actually, people were divided into two camps. Some people thought he brought the sport, you know, and the prestige of the Olympics down, and he was a joke, and he was ridiculing it by being there. Other people thought, good on you, isn't the spirit of the Olympics that everyone can have a go? And, you know, in that film Cool Runnings, if you've ever seen it, about the Jamaican bobsled team, they sort of went and they said, we're going to have a go. We're entitled to compete just like anyone else. And they were also ridiculed by, you know, the nations that really knew how to do bobsledding. But they had a go, and the point... So the other camp thinks, well, good on you, Eddie, for showing what the spirit of the Olympics is and representing your country. So we represent the Lord, and we go out and we're... It says in verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And that's the way God saves people, by people opening their mouth and being foolish. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yes, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. God's made it this way. He's made us to soar like eagles, but like more like Eddie than to be, you know, like the guy that did the 129 metres. We've got to sort of accept that. We've got to have a go. And as we read in the very first scriptures, you know, our life's a vapour, but if we follow the Lord, we'll live. And we'll do this or that. You never know what it's going to be. It's going to be really exciting. It's going to be an adventure. You're going to have things like Eddie in a spiritual sense, and you're going to look back and say, wow, I really did some interesting things being in the Lord. But most of all, of course, you're going to be rejoicing because you're with Jesus forever. And all the people said, amen.